Good morning. We are glad you're here with us this morning. I know we're not physically in the building. If you're visiting with us, I am the pastor here, Ron Snyder, and we took a weekend away, just my wife and I, to celebrate our anniversary, something we haven't done in a while. So we're thankful you're here in the building with us this morning. We are stepping away from our series this morning, and we're going to do a standalone message. Today, I want to talk about something that no one really likes. Tests. Tests always cost us something. I mean, who likes going to the admission station or taking tests for work or school? Then there are the tests from the doctor. Oh, how fun they are. But without tests, how we know how we are doing in any area? Tests cost something, but they also help us assess where we are and where we need to grow. Without them, we would have no measure to go by. Can you imagine people attaining a driver's license with no test? I mean, really? Yeah, that would not be pretty. Sometimes you wonder if people did pass the test on the road. I know I do. Anyway, would you want a lawyer defending you who didn't know the law and couldn't pass the bar exam? Would that be the person you'd pick to defend you in court? Or, I've got one yet even better. Who would be willing to jump on that airplane with a pilot who could not pass a flying test? I don't think anybody's putting their hands up, and if they are, we need to talk after church. But I think we get the idea, right? Tests, while not pleasant, and not easy, they always have a purpose. And sometimes we are given tests by those who love us. These tests aren't always welcome, but I think we can agree this morning that they are necessary. And God uses tests to help us grow into His likeness, to understand pain, to help us grow. In the beginning of the Bible, man is tested. It began in the garden with the serpent and Adam and Eve. The test was, would Adam and Eve listen and obey God, what God had told them? How do you think they did? But their tests prove something, right? I mean, they didn't do so well because we live in a fallen world, but their tests prove something. Without their failure, would we have needed Jesus? God, throughout His story, allowed testing to happen. Another example that we can look at is Abraham. In Genesis 22:1, sometime later, God tested Abraham. Now, if you're familiar with this part of the Bible, you know that Abraham and Sarah were old, and they had been promised that they would have many, many descendants. At this point in their life, they have no children. And so God comes down and tells Abraham, he's like 100 years old, and he tells Abraham and Sarah, you're going to have children. And Sarah's like, ha, yeah, right? But with God, all things are possible. We know that. So finally, because God says what does what He says He's going to do, He comes down and he makes sure that Sarah gets pregnant, and they have a baby, a little baby boy. A baby boy that Abraham cherished, a baby boy that was long awaited, a baby boy named Isaac, who would be the path through which the descendants would come. But sometime later, when Isaac was a young boy, God came down and told him to take him up to the mountain and sacrifice him. Now, you want to talk about a test. For any parent in the room today, if you think about what it would take for you to listen to God, if He said to you, I want you to sacrifice your child on this altar, and it's the only way that you can be obedient to me. What would you do? I believe that this is actually the ultimate test in the Bible. It's one of the ones that makes my skin crawl. It gives me chills on the back of my neck. Because Abraham was faithful. And he went through with the test. If you want to know the whole story and you don't know it, you can go read it in Genesis. But the purpose of testing from God is to see if we truly believe He is who He says He is. If there were no test, how will we even know that he's there? In Exodus 15, Moses is desperate for God to do something, even though God had just rescued the Israelites from the hands of Pharaoh. They're in the desert, for just 3 days, and they had found no water. Now, I don't know about you, but the desert is a dry place, right? I mean, it's going to be desperate out there, and 3 days with no water. Look, it's been hot around here lately. I know it's supposed to be fall, but September, it's been hot. Can you imagine, just imagine, going one day around here with no water? Can you imagine that? Yeah, it would be horrible. But they're in the desert for 3 days with no water. Would you grumble a little bit? I think so. They grumbled against Moses because they had nothing to drink. And when they arrived in Marah, there was water there, but it was too bitter to drink. And this is how Moses responds in verse 25 of Exodus 15. Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became fit to drink. There the Lord issued a ruling and instruction for them and put them to the what? The test. God fixed the problem, but it didn't come without a test. I want you to think about that concept. God fixed the problem, but it didn't come without a test. How many of us in the room today are facing a problem but really don't want to engage or accept or endure, is probably the best word, a test in order to find the solution? And you got to ask this question: why would God require something from them in order for them to live? That seems unloving. That seems unmerciful. So what is it that he was requiring? What is it that he was going to put them to the test with? Well, we get the answer in the following verse, verse 26. And he said, if you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention, church, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought in the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Here's the test. Listen to who? The Lord. And then what? Do what is right, because if you do, he says, you will not face what the Egyptians faced, because it is God who heals. Think about that. Does that even apply to us today? Would God test us to keep us from harm? Would he dare test any of us to see if we are willing to listen and obey? I mean, excuse me. What is this the God we know? I mean, is this the God? What about God's grace? What about his mercy? Let me ask you this question. Would a parent do any less today? Are parents just mean and want to restrict and punish their kids if they get out of line, or if there is more to it than that? I mean, if other tests are meant to help us, to keep us in line, to find out something about us, or even to grow us, how is a test from God the Father any different? Paul told the Corinthian believers that he gave them milk instead of meat because they weren't ready for the meat. Look at 1 Corinthians 3, verse 2. He says, I gave you milk, not solid food, for you are not ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. Well, most of us know that Paul is not talking literally, right? I mean, he's talking figuratively. He's not offering them milk, the liquid, versus meat, the solid. He's talking about the teachings of Christ. He's talking about the heavy teaching, the harder things to hear. And he's saying that you weren't ready for them. Let me ask you this question. How do you think Paul knew they weren't ready? I think it's pretty simple. I think if you look at it, he tested them with the easier things to see how they handled them before he would move on to the harder teaching. Would God do any different with us? If we are not passing the test, we are not going to get to the next level, to the next step. Now, some may argue there is no next level. But if we look at the scriptures, there are plenty of examples of tests people go through that prepare them for what is next. Consider all the testing Joseph went through, being sold into slavery. He was bought by Potiphar, who ended up entrusting him with his household. But Potiphar's wife wanted more from Joseph. If you don't know the story, you can go read that. It's in Genesis. And when he refused what Potiphar's wife wanted, it landed him in jail. So he's in jail. The cupbearer and the baker were in jail with him. I guess they messed up in Pharaoh's court, so he threw him in jail. And while they were there, they had these dreams. It's pretty interesting, these dreams. I'm not going to go into all the details today. But Joseph offers to interpret the dreams of the cupbearer and the baker. And he interprets them correctly. And after he does, they get released. They get released back to Pharaoh, and exactly what he said was going to happen happens. But before he left, he said, "Hey, listen, I've interpreted your dreams. Now, don't forget to tell Pharaoh about me. Don't forget to tell him that I'm here. I'm not supposed to be." I mean, can you just imagine what Joseph went through? He received a vision at a young boy that he would rule over his household. And here, he was going through all this chaos. I mean, his brothers had basically attacked him, put him down in a well, and then saw this caravan going by and sold him into slavery. And he's gone. His dad thinks he's dead. And here he is sitting in a prison where the cupbearer forgot about him for 2 full years. 2 full years. After those 2 years, Pharaoh had a dream, and the cupbearer all of a sudden remembered, "Oh, I know somebody that can interpret the dream for you," and he had him call on Joseph. Just wrestle with me with this. What purpose would all this serve? I believe that through testing, God is often preparing us. Preparing us for what's next in our lives, but also preparing us to trust Him more. Because there is no test without purpose and provision. Somebody needs to hear that today. There is no test without purpose or provision. Some of you are going through some tests and you're like, "Man, I just feel like I'm all alone. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how I'm going to get through this." But God says, "I'm not putting you through this without purpose and provision." You got to trust that this morning. You got to trust that God's in it with you, that He's not left you alone, that He's got purpose and provision in this test. If we jump back to the Old Testament, well, we've really not gotten out of the Old Testament, but if we jump back to Moses, he told the people one of the reasons God would test them in Exodus 20:20. Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning." Now, I want you to notice those first four words again. Look at those. Moses said to the people, what? Do not be afraid. If we're honest, it's often in the tests we get confused and wonder if God is even with us. How many of you ever felt that? How many of you felt in the midst of the test and you're wondering, God, why am I going through this? Where are you? Why is this so hard? I need your help. And you're nowhere to be found. And look, let's be honest. When you feel that way, when you feel like God is not there with you, it causes us to fear. And uncertainty rules instead of trust. But if we know God has a purpose in the testing, can't we better accept it and be more prepared to go through it? Yeah. One of the misconceptions about the test is that that it will happen quickly and not last long. But look at what's recorded for us in Deuteronomy 8, verse 2, the first part. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these how many years? 40 years. Why did he do it? To humble and test you. That's a long test. That's a really long test, church. 40 years. How many of you think you, how do you think you would do with a 40 long year test? You know, I lost my thought there just thinking about, I'd be nuts. 40 years. I know some of you are already saying that's already happened, but look, 40 years in testing would be a long, long time. In fact, I think if we think about it, and if we're honest, some of us are squirming in our seats. God would really test somebody for 40 years? We think, how in the world are we going to last if it's going to take longer than a day, a week, a month, or maybe for some of you who are really patient, a year. I can get through this test if it's just a year. Why would the Lord take so long in the testing? Why do I have to endure such a trial for such an extended period of time? That doesn't seem fair. That doesn't seem right. Think about the three accounts from the Bible we've discussed this morning so far. Moses and the Israelites. How long were they under the control of Pharaoh before they were freed? A long time. Abraham and Sarah. How old were they before they had children? And then to think they would have to sacrifice Isaac back to God. How long did they wait? And the Israelites wandering in the desert for 40 years before reaching the promised land. Why would God allow such long periods of testing? Well, part of it is to humble us, right? We read that. To keep us grounded. To remind us that we're not in control. That's right, I just said we're not in control. How many control freaks in the room? Like, you gotta have your hand on it, you gotta have it under your power. And then maybe the final part is just to remind us that we're not God. But there's more. Look at what the second part of Deuteronomy 8 says. It says to test and humble you in order to know that what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. Think about it. We all can endure a short test. Who would say in the room that they couldn't endure a short test? I think we could all endure a short test. In fact, in a short test, we can do that on our own. We'll get through it on our own. We can hide the pain, the anger, the regret, the fear, the uncertainty when the test doesn't last that long. Because there's often nothing we can't stand for a short time. But as a test goes on and on and on, it becomes harder to hide those things because those things hide in our heart. And it's often the severity and the length of the test that reveals those things about Job and his test. I'm sorry, reveals those things. Think about Job and his test. Life was good prior to him being sifted by the devil. And in the test, things came out. Questions he probably would have never asked. Things he would have probably never said. If we're being tested for an extended period of time and the test is excruciating, the reason may be God wants us to see what's in our heart. He wants us to have a soft heart and not a hard one. And often, it's only a test that can do that. There will be people, even preachers, who tell you otherwise. In fact, the Bible warns of that and gives us another reason for testing. In Deuteronomy 13, these words are recorded for us. Verse 3. It says, "You must not listen to the words of that prophet or dreamer. The Lord your God is testing you to find out whether you love him with all your heart and your soul." See, the temptation in a time of testing is to wonder where God is in the midst of it all. But if our heart is truly set on God, that will be revealed in our response. Think again about Job. Even through it all, we saw him praising God, giving him the honor he was due. Why? Because Job loved God despite the pain, despite the longevity of the test, despite what his friends told him. Why? Because he loved God. And that love flowed from his heart as he worshiped through the testing. Did you hear what I just said? That love flowed from his heart as he worshiped through the testing. Wow. I want to be like Job. I want to worship through the testing instead of complaining. I want to not cry out. I want to be able to withstand the test. I mean, look at what he lost. Think about what Job lost. His entire family, his livelihood, his home. He lost it all. The only thing he didn't lose was his nagging wife. And some friends that I'm not sure I would call friends. That's a lot to lose. That's a huge test. Look, at some point, we may even, as David did, cry out to the Lord and ask for the test if you get to that maturity. Look at Psalm 26:2. Now, this is mind-blowing, right? David cries out and says, "Test me, Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind." Have you ever done that? Are you willing to do that? Have you ever asked God to test you so that he can see what's in your heart and your mind? Do you even want to know? That takes a level of spiritual maturity, right? It would not be easy to get to this point. Yet David knew it was part of the maturing process, a refining process. For later, he writes in Psalm 66:10, "For you, God, tested us. You refined us like silver." The testing is the refining process God uses to make us more like himself. If we want to be more like God, it should not be out of our comfort zone to ask him to test us. Not out of our comfort zone to ask him to test us. There's no other place the heart is better tested than in the hands of God. For everything has a vessel for testing. Look at Proverbs 17:3. "The crucible for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the heart." Solomon understood only God can test the heart. Only through him is it possible to know where the heart lies and what it's up to. I'm going to say something here, and you might want to write this down. It's be on the screen. There is no better way in which to test the human heart than in the hands of a loving God. Think about that. What better way would there be to test the human heart than in the hands of a loving God? Who would you rather test your heart? A human whose heart may be wrong, or a God who is always for us? Who demonstrated how much He loved us through the sacrifice of His Son on a cross so that we might be saved. It's only through God we can experience the freeing power of the test. Think about that. It's only through God that we can experience the freeing power of the test. And what we must know is God Himself, in the form of Jesus, knows the pain, the struggle, and everything else that is found in the testing process. Look, Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 28:16, "So this is what the Sovereign Lord says. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. The one who relies on it will never be stricken with pain." Or panic, I'm sorry, with panic. Do you know who the stone is? It's Jesus. He's the one who endured the test. Consider His test. 33 years as God, having to live in the body of a man, only to be rejected, humiliated, suffer, and die. That's quite a test. Why? Why would God do that? Why would He step into mankind like that? So we knew how much He loved us, so that He could relate with us. So that we know in the test, we are not the only ones who have been tested, for God Himself was tested through Jesus. He will be the calm in the storm. He will be there in the test. Contemplate for a second His response on the cross. On the cross, even with all the pain, the suffering, the weight of the world's sin on His shoulders, He was comfort to the thief next to Him. He was provision for His mother standing below Him. And we know His suffering has created hope for all of us. That's exciting. Look, testing, while hard in the moment, has eternal consequences. Think about that. Testing, while hard in the moment, has eternal consequences. How we respond to the test will surely have results in heaven. It did for Jesus. How then would it be any different for us? Whether it be a crown or greater responsibilities, the testing could have nothing to do with our lives on earth, but everything to do with our legacy in heaven. That should get you a little bit excited this morning, because some of you might be in this long test and you're like, is it ever going to end? Why am I enduring this all while I'm on earth? Well, look, maybe it's not about earth. Maybe it's about the legacy in heaven. Maybe it's about that crown that He wants to give you. Maybe the greater responsibilities, the more kingdoms you get to rule over. And Isaiah again reminds us, our testing is often in our afflictions. In Isaiah 48:10, he tells us that. Our troubles, our trials are meant to not only test us, but to add to us. Look, James, the brother of Jesus, tells us that our testing results in production. James 1:3, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Perseverance to do what? To reveal His glory as we tell His story. That's right. We're here to tell His story, and through His story, we're giving Him glory. I know that's a mouthful there, but think about it. That's the truth. That's the reality. And again, that perseverance will often result in the rewards or blessings that I just talked about. In James 1:12, again, he said, "Blessed is the one who perseveres under the trial, because having stood the what? The test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love Him." Look, when we withstand the test, Not only do we reveal God's who God is, it reveals God in us. I want you to hear that again. Not only as we go through the test do we reveal who God is, it reveals who God is in us. Because those who are watching you go through the test will want to know, how did they endure? What allowed them to go through that and come out better on the other side? They may even ask, and because of our testing, want to know Jesus and be able to have that same kind of courage. Look, as we wrap up today, I want to land on this final verse. And I would encourage you, you know, I don't do this often, but I'd encourage you to take this one down and memorize it, because I think it could shape the way that we think about our lives and the hard times that we go through. The verse is found in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. And Peter's writing to the church. He says, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you." In other words, don't be caught off guard. Don't be surprised. Expect it. Be ready and be mindful. Tests are coming. We should not only expect them, but embrace them, because not only do they put us in good company, they change us. They shape us. I want you to think about all those people we talked about today. Because it's not just those. There's a whole bunch more in the Bible. Look, Moses was tested. Abraham was tested. The people, the Israelites, were tested. Jesus was tested. I mean, if you look at story after story in the Bible, people are tested. You can't read the Bible without finding someone else who's been tested. So I want to submit today that there are two options as we go through tests. See, we can either praise or be frustrated. In the test, you can either praise Him or you can be frustrated. It's up to you. The second thing that we need to do, you probably just keep it on the screen, cameraman, woman, is that we can either accept the test or we can abandon it. Or feel abandoned in it. In other words, we accept that it's going to happen, and we're okay with it. It's going to change us, or we can feel like we're abandoned in it. And that leads us to the next one, which is we can either feel secure in it, or we can be independent in it. And it's up to you. You know, you can feel secure knowing that you're not in it alone, or you can feel like independent and I got this. Well, I got news for you. If the test goes on and on, and it may be going on and on because God wants you to feel secure in Him and not to be independent, it may continue to go on and on until you get it from Him. And then the final points here is that you can either shine as you go through it, or you can hang your head and look down. See, the ultimate point of the test is either you pass or you fail. You either pass or you fail. And the results of the test with God, I don't want the alternative. I don't want the fail. I don't know about you, but the fail, I don't want to be frustrated. I don't want to feel abandoned. I don't want to feel like I got it under control, because you know what? The reality is none of us got it under control. We think we're independent, but we need to be dependent. And look, when we're failing, you know you're looking down. You know you're not feeling good about life. You know you're not going to shine. So why would you want to fail? Look, I don't know what trial you're going through. I don't know which trial you're headed for. I don't know what test is in the, you're in the midst of right now. But there's a final verse. It's not going to be on the screen. I'm just going to read it for you. And I just want you to meditate on this as you prepare this morning to walk out of here. In Revelation 2:10, John writes for us, "Do not be afraid of what you're about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful even to the point of death, and I'll give you life as your victor's crown." Life. Look, if we pass the test that God puts in front of us, ultimately, what do we get? We get life. I know nobody likes a test. Nobody walks up and gives it. Well, there's that one guy in the class that walks up and be like, "Man, I got this one. This is in the bag." And the problem is with those guys, usually they're overconfident and they bomb the test. So maybe we just need to walk into the test. Maybe you're in it right now and you need to look up and go, "God, you know what? I don't know what you want me to see here, but I want to see it. And I'm ready for it. I'm embracing it." And so, don't be afraid. Be prepared. Be encouraged. Don't quit on the test. Lean into God. Call out to Him as David did. Cry out for Him. In fact, maybe right now that's what we need to do. Just get down on our knees and go, "God, we need you this morning. There's some tests in my life. Are those going to be? And I know I'm not doing well or I'm not going to do well. And I just need you to help me get through it. I want to shine for you through it. I don't want to stumble around. So would you help me to be yours? Help me to embrace the test and to shine for you through it. May you receive all the glory for what we get on the other side, what gets on the other side of this thing. And if it's long test, oh God, give us patience to endure. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.